This part, I was trying to shut the microphone. That did seem quite right to me.
So, homage to the Buddha, homage to the Dharma, homage to the Sangha. So thank you all for being here this morning. I feel like there's no telling what's going to happen with this talk in some ways. I have had one of those mornings where I feel slightly out of sync. I met Cassidy this morning and gave the intro and talked way too long. And then was supposed to come in and do the initial incense offering, and my kesa, my big blue robe, just, I had a total wardrobe malfunction going on back there. It was like upside down and backwards, and I was like, this doesn't seem good. This just doesn't seem good. And so I saw it, like, hit reset, folded up, and then it did it again. I was like, what is going on? So then I was like, okay. All right, so finally got my robe on and arrived in this space. So interesting to notice what happens in the mind in those moments. And then, even before that, right, I've been preparing all week for this talk, and on my drive here, well, actually, it was kind of breakfast this morning. It was like, I think I have way too much to tell you this morning. I think I'm trying to stuff a lot into my talk. So this is a slight bait and switch if you read the description of the talk. The talk, and it weaves in, but I think it's worthy of a kind of another talk as well. So my talk this morning is going to be about gratitude. I have a lot of material about compassion and the practice of turning compassion inward. And I realize that there's so much that I would like to offer you and say about that, that I'm going to, we'll look at the timing, but I can already tell I had too much. So it seems appropriate to focus on this practice of and turning the mind towards gladness, towards thankfulness, towards gratitude in November, right? It's really influenced by the culture. We're already, many of us, starting to make plans for the holiday itself, thinking about if you'll do something, what you'll do, staying home, going someplace else. And so these talks are often kind of influenced by just the rhythm of our year and what we're doing. And I feel like these days I could start just about any talk by saying with sincerity, in these divided, trouble times, we need the practice of fill in the blank more than ever, right? I feel like we need the practice of gratitude more than ever. We need the practice of mindfulness. We need the practice of compassion. We need the practice of offering each other our wholehearted attention. So we could talk about a lot of things, but I feel the intensity of that more than I have in recent times. Just this week, our country went through a lot as a nation. And just acknowledging that. And every day, we're seeing climate crisis unfold before our eyes. The movement that down in Southern Oregon, the striking images of Venice underwater. Every day. So the question arises, how do we practice in the face of all of this? And a few weeks ago, Domio offered some practices about brightening the mind. And this is very much related to that, because how do we hold all of these? How do we fortify ourselves, nourish ourselves, foster some resilience, touch base with the joy and the mystery of having this unique human life that we've got in the midst of all this stuff going on every day? So how do we bring that together? Um, In the Avatamsaka Sutra, it says our true nature is eternal, joyous, selfless, and pure. So I very much can connect the state of joyous to gratitude. So this is our original state. This is our manifestation of our enlightened nature. So turning ourselves towards this natural state, this thing that is our birthright, is really essential, really nourishes, it's really important. So I'm going to offer some thoughts about gratitude, how we dive into that, how it is shows up in our Buddhist practice. And this is a little warning, we're going to do an activity. And the activity does not involve talking to other people. For those that have had the pair up thing that I've done quite a bit. So this is, Diane, who I mentioned to her, this is introvert friendly activity. So, and you know, it's so funny because I tend towards a lot of like group interaction, let's connect, let's talk to each other. I'm like the worst when I'm in your position sitting there, like I resist it, I don't like it, I just want to go passive. And yet I benefit from it a lot and I actually kind of strong arm people into participating. So also know I'll introduce a very innocuous activity in my mind, but you're of course, and I'll say more about this, you're welcome to not do it, right? Mm-hmm. I want this to be like an inviting, safe place that you're not going to have surprises and you'll see. It's fine. Trust me, it's fine. And you have the option of not doing. I think you'll like it. Again, no telling what's going to happen. I wonder where I am in my notes. Let's see. So gratitude, the practice of gratitude. I did want to say something about it being the most, I would say the most Buddhist of all holidays, right? It's so interesting that we have a day carved out. Many people have the day off work, specifically to give thanks, to count our blessings, to gather with family and friends. And it originated out of, you know, surviving and having abundance. So it's a celebration also of abundance and that there was enough to share. So I love that it comes out of that. And I was remembering a talk that I heard long, long ago from Kyogen about Thanksgiving. I wish I could find a recording of it. But one of the things that he mentioned that always stuck with me is talking about this practice of gratitude in that it shows up in a lot of our traditional echoes. It shows up in one that was done this morning about offering our gratitude to our teachers. And just going to read, I can't remember if this shows up here exactly in this way, but at the end of a recitation of the lineage chant, there's this part where the chant leader would say, "We pray that we may be able to show our gratitude to the four benefactors." So show our gratitude to the four benefactors. And in the interest of just demystifying who and what those benefactors are, it's kind of nice to know that they are, and it's just interesting, they are the Buddha. Sometimes it's phrased as the president, right? So the head of state, the government that allows for practice of religion freely, so that we're able to practice Buddhism without persecution here, right? I think, I'm trying to remember who would have been president when that talk was given by Kyogen. It was probably one of the Bushes, right? So it's interesting now to consider that offering. But, and then, so it's the Buddha, the president, our parents, and all people. So that's what's meant by that. And it's interesting to consider those are the people, the things, the forces that make it possible to practice. So there's a lot of gratitude that we can, that we intentionally incline our minds towards, even though our parents may be problematic people to offer gratitude towards. There's not always easy relationships there for lots of reasons. So I'll leave it at that. You can consider what that offering might be. But we get a lot of lists in Zen, so it's kind of nice when there's an opportunity to tell you what's in one of the lists, because you'll hear these chanted. It's helpful, I think. So in just a little bit, I'm going to offer some ideas about how we develop a relationship to gratitude or what that is. But I think I've said this in other talks, but it's worth repeating that I think gratitude is tricky in that it feels like one of those shoulds, like you should feel grateful. And it could be that oftentimes we think, well, the circumstances of my life look pretty good on paper. Whatever it is that you have in your life, relationship, home, safe place to live, all of those things. And so we can judge ourselves for not feeling a particular way. And this is not about suggesting that you should force that feeling or slap a feeling of gratitude when it's not authentic and real and there. So this is about how do we direct our attention to set the stage for the possibility of this bubbling up of gratitude. So it's not about forcing it. It's not about that you people out there, you should be feeling grateful, and here's why. This is more about how do we support that in our lives? How do we set the stage? How do we set the scene? And I remember hearing a talk by Vicki Austin when she visited Dharmarain several years ago, and she was giving a talk, and I remember, and gratitude was not the central focus of this, but it came up, and I think it was a time when I was feeling pretty dark and bleak, and I asked, well, so how do you feel gratitude when you just aren't feeling it, or what do you do when you just don't feel it? And she said, attention is the gateway to gratitude. And I found that stuck with me all these years, attention. So that's given me permission to just feel whatever I'm feeling, but just start noticing. Just start noticing. The simple act of taking that mindfulness, this power of attention that we cultivate on the cushion, and when we turn it outward into the world, doesn't take long, actually, to notice something that we are sincerely, authentically grateful for. But we don't have to force it. We just don't have to force it. And I think that's important to know. So now I'm going to offer some suggestions about cultivating your nature that is grateful, that can bubble up at times when we set the scene. So some of these you will have heard, but I think they are worthy of repeating. One that I return to again and again is simply ending my day by in my journal writing two or three little bullet points of something that I'm grateful for. So the act of physically writing that out is really supportive and helpful, but that's not everybody's thing. Sometimes it can be as you're just laying your head on your pillow, calling to mind two or three things that you notice during the day that you're grateful for. Some of it can be simple, can be big, complicated situation, a person. One tip I got, and I think this came from Oprah, is looking for something different each day. Because I noticed that I did have I'm always grateful for pizza, you know, every day. Every time I eat pizza, it always shows up on the list. So it's like, it's funny looking back through that period of my pizza, 3 days later, pizza, pizza, really, really grateful. Looking for something different is great in a couple of ways, in that it really primes you, and this whole practice really primes you to be scanning for something new to that you're going to put in your journal or think about that evening. So it starts to prime your mind to be looking for that new thing that you're grateful for. And you have to dig a little bit deeper of that, and you don't. It stays fresh in that way. So that is one suggestion. Another related, but kind of at the other end of your day, practice is one, as I was preparing for the talk, I was looking around for teachings about gratitude, just kind of curious what else was out there. And I came across a talk that I'd heard about but I had not listened to before by Steve Stuckey. Not sure if I'm saying his name right, but he's a former abbot of San Francisco Zen Center. So I will confess, I Googled gratitude and Zen practices. Boom. So now this is behind the scenes, like how this happens sometimes. So what came up is just such an amazing talk. I really encourage you to listen to it. And two things. One is that it was the practice that he offered was a very simple one of when you wake up in the morning, sit on the edge of the bed, put your hands on gassho, and start with, I am grateful for, and just notice what bubbles up. I am grateful for. And I've been doing that this week, and really it's changed my day. And especially if you're like me, I really struggle getting up in the morning. It's not an easy thing for me. And that really changes the energy. Like, I'm grateful I have the ability to walk to the bathroom, right? I'm grateful that I've got coffee is ready for me. I'm grateful to be here, and it brings out some genuineness, especially when you're sort of raw and sleepy in the morning. It's a really nice practice, but the context for which Steve offered this talk was that he had just days before been given a terminal diagnosis of pancreatic cancer, and the gratitude I feel for him in offering that and being such a just amazing is an overused word, but really an amazing example of a lifetime of practice that in the face of this great letting go of his life that he was about to do, what bubbled up for him is offering gratitude for the life that he had, gratitude for what had been given. So what a potent example of how fostering this kind of practice can support you through the difficult times. So just so lovely, and it's available online to listen to. So kind of related to that and to the, we're gonna take us through a little guided meditation on gratitude. One other practice, I couldn't find my book. There's a book called The Holographic Universe, and it talks about how, like any piece of the body reflects the entire body. And one of the practices suggested in there that I picked up years ago was noticing if there's a part of the body that is hurting or aching or that you are not particularly happy with what it's doing, is to send loving kindness and gratitude towards that body part. And it's not usually the inclination is the other, like, why are you doing that? But it's like, oh, I think you're telling me something. Oh, thank you for serving me well. You're wearing out a little bit. But you've served me well all these years. I'm sorry that you're hurting. It really does change the energy, because usually my energy, my natural inclination is kind of a little bit towards irritation or a little bit of worry, like, oh no, is something really going wrong? And so to just offer gratitude to the way that body has served. So I'd like to do a very short guided meditation that gives us this lived experience, this lived feeling of gratitude. So start to get yourself in kind of a comfortable spot. And this is meant to illustrate how we can lean into gratitude. We notice the whole experience of gratitude. How do we know we're feeling grateful? What does that feel like? So we're going to try it. So you make yourself comfortable. You can have your eyes either just downcast or closed. And you might focus your attention on the heart center, on the heart. And as you inhale, you might try for a few breaths. Visualize inhaling and breathing in kindness. And with each exhale, release any negativity, any judgment. Breathing, gently breathing in kindness, filling the whole body, breathing out negativity. Now bring to mind some blessing in your life. It could be a person or a thing or a situation that you're grateful for. So bring that to mind and really visualize that person or situation as completely as you can. Now, as you're holding that image in mind, take a moment of silently sending a thought of appreciation to that person or to life for that situation. And do that with a simple, silent, sincere thank you. Thank you. Bring your awareness to what you're feeling in this moment. Perhaps feeling some energy of this blessing, this person, or this thing, or this situation that you feel grateful for. Just notice how that feels in the body. You can gently let that practice go and just notice the residual of that. Any feeling of well-being or not. A feeling of resistance, whatever it is. And if your eyes have been closed, you can open them and we'll come back together. For doing that. So now I'm going to change the energy a little bit more. Now comes the activity. So what I would like to do, so we've kind of dipped into this sensation, this feeling of gratitude. So I have cards and pens, and what I would invite you to do, again, not required, is to write a thank you note to yourself. So it's turning that compassion, that gratitude inward. So we just had this outward experience of circumstances or people. And I recently did this activity myself when I was at a conference, and I'm curious to notice what arises for you as I even introduce this activity, if there's resistance or whatever it might be, or curiosity. So we're going to take about 5 to 7 minutes to do this, and a little bit longer perhaps, to see how people are doing. If you would like me to mail it to you, I would be happy to mail it to you, probably in a week or two. So you just need to just seal it up and write your name and address on there, and you might get this lovely note in the mail in a couple of weeks. So I'm going to pass the basket around. So there's colored markers, and there's regular pens, and there's a couple of different kinds of thank you notes. So, and feel free to move around, and I'll call us back together with a bell in about 7 minutes, but I'll check in on how you're all doing with that. Maybe I should divide those up. Yeah. Thanks, Jeremy. And if you want to continue while I offer one thing in closing. Oh, wait, this one doesn't have a... Okay, all right. You can keep it if you want to. Okay. Put these here. One final thing I want to share in closing, and then we have a time for a little bit of discussion. This is a modern day translation of, I like the incoming thank yous. I love it. this is a modern day interpretation, translation of the Buddha's discourse on blessings, from the Mangalam Sutta. And this is by Shoshana Alexander it's taken from this book, Awakening Joy, which is fabulous. So here it is. The Buddha's discourse on blessings. It is a great blessing to spend time in the company of wise people and to honor those who are worthy, to live in a place that is good for you, to do good deeds, and to keep yourself going in the right direction. To be well educated, to develop your skills, to train yourself in discipline, and to use words carefully and beautifully. To take good care of your mother and father, to cherish your partner and children, and to engage in a livelihood that is harmless. To give generously to others, to live with integrity, to care for everyone you consider your family, to avoid doing harm, to refrain from intoxicants, and to develop wholesome states of mind, to be respectful, humble, content, and grateful, and to regularly bring spiritual teachings into your life, to be patient, open to learning, to be in touch with people on a spiritual path, and to discuss spiritual teachings. To live simply and in a holy way, to understand the deepest truth, and to realize the highest freedom and happiness. To have a mind that is steady, unswayed by the ups and downs of life, free of sorrow and shame, and at peace. Those who act in these ways cannot be dragged down. Everywhere they go, they find well-being. Well-being. That's my talk for today. So many comments or thoughts in closing. We have just a few minutes.
Your talk is great, but I just want to say that I don't think Thanksgiving is a Buddhist holiday, really, because the foundations of it were based on genocide, and also the slaughter of a million birds all across the country, so that it's not Buddhist. I'm not making judgments, it's just that I feel like if there was a Native American here, he wouldn't be grateful for Thanksgiving, and also just a voice for the birds that get slaughtered.
And there's all the shadow sides.
I'm glad to acknowledge those, yeah.
I'm grateful for the preparation you put into the Dharma Talk. Thank you very much.
I think that as we inherit this space, we stand on the shoulders of others, so I choose to rename this November holiday Feast of Gratitude, so that as I share that statement with people, they might rethink and make the holiday something wider and more compassionate than it was presented to us.
Thank you for the wonderful reminder I've always found that it's just great medicine to reflect on this, and when you take the time out, I like the idea of starting the day with, what am I grateful for today, to set the tone for the day.
Yeah, so simple.
Yes.
I had an interesting conversation many years back when I was a bartender with, there was a Native American convention that came in, and they were getting together to try to improve circumstances on the reservation. Having been out to the reservations, various reservations in Arizona many times, I was familiar with their circumstances already. And we got into a really interesting discussion about things like Thanksgiving and the genocide associated. And the thing that I said to them that they seemed to like, and I don't know how much hatred I'm going to draw here, I didn't have a knack for that, they didn't, but, one of the things I said was that I thought it was really horrible the things that were done, but I also pointed out that I am grateful for what the Native Americans have done, because if they hadn't helped the white people, then I certainly, in this day and age, would not have the fantastic life that I have. And so I expressed some gratitude for that, and I listened to them talk about the different things that they were doing to try to improve life on the reservation, and how it is getting better because they're getting educated now. A lot of them are going to colleges and stuff and becoming attorneys and suing and winning. And I thought that was awesome. And I was just like, you know what, that's really good. And I acknowledged and listened to the things that were going on there and stuff. And so we kind of had this really peaceful, good time, and it worked out great. So I think that we can appreciate what we have, and we can be grateful for it, we can be grateful for the tremendous sacrifices that they made to help us be here, and acknowledge that.
Thank you for that. Well, like that. The message that I took from this talk was more about gratitude than Thanksgiving. Yeah. I think that would just happen to. And actually, just so you know, like Thanksgiving predates the Pilgrims and the Native Americans. That's why there's a Canadian Thanksgiving. It's essentially a harvest. It's a harvest festival. It's a gratitude for the abundance of the harvest. But one of the things that I was noticing in these exercises, because I ended up just really grateful for my yard and the things that are growing there and the birds that come, and as I shifted from like, well, I appreciate that, to kind of thank you, there's like this shift from like, I don't know, a kind of taking for granted to like, wow, that I wouldn't necessarily have that. There's a shift in energy and attention. It shifted the energy from me and how I'm feeling and how I like it to like, wow, look at that being or that thing.
Well, I think we'll end on that note, and so I'll take the closing verse.
Abiding in this ephemeral world like a lotus in muddy water, the mind is pure and goes beyond. Thus we bow to Buddha. All Buddhas throughout space and time, all honored ones, bodhisattvas, mahasattvas, wisdom beyond wisdom.